Good morning, everybody. our Bible readings today come from Proverbs and James. And as you can see, the page numbers are up there. If anyone needs a Bible, could you please put your hand up and Steve will give you one if you require one. I think everyone's fine. Our first reading this morning comes from Proverbs, chapter 16, verses 1 to 9. Page 524 on your Bibles. To humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. When the Lord takes pleasure in anyone's way, he causes their enemies to make peace with them. Better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Our second reading from James, chapter 4, verses 15 to 17. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone, then, knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them.
Thanks, Carol, and thanks, Julie. Just a couple of reminders. One is at the back of the church, you'll see that there are now some business-sized cards that you can grab and use as an invitation to invite people to come to church. So make use of those. Carry them around in your wallet, your purse, and when you're talking to people, invite them to come to Wente Anglican. Secondly, if you're someone who's trusted in Jesus and you have not yet been baptized and you would like to be baptized, after all, it's the symbol God gives us for being saved, we are going to be holding a few baptisms at the end of next month. And so if you're interested in that, please come and talk to me. Our task now is to be in the Proverbs. So let's turn back to that first passage in Proverbs chapter 16. Page 524, and let me pray for us. Father, we pray that you would teach us your ways and guide us in your wisdom. And we pray you do that now with the help of your Spirit through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, decisions, decisions, decisions. Life is full of decisions. Some decisions are small and insignificant, like what am I going to have for breakfast tomorrow, or what clothes am I going to wear to work tomorrow? But other decisions we have are weighty, aren't they? Should I change jobs? How should I spend my money? How do I raise my kids? And they're big decisions. And decisions can make or break you. Decisions can keep you awake at night. Is you think, oh, what decision will I make? Did I make the right decision? But some of us are impulsive when it comes to decisions. We rush in and then we go all in and then we pick up the pieces later. Others of us are more paralyzed by decisions. We overthink them, we analyze, we assess, we're afraid of making the wrong choice, and sometimes it means we don't end up making a choice at all. Now, in all of those decisions that I've just mentioned, most of them are moral, most of them are permissible, but not all of them are wise. And the question is, how do you make a wise decision? How do you make a decision that is full of wisdom? That's why we need guidance, and that's why we're doing this new series in the Proverbs, Wisdom for Everyday Life, because Proverbs gives us guidance for making decisions, not by giving us a crystal ball to show us the exact future, but instead it teaches us how to walk wisely with God so that we can navigate our decisions with clarity and peace. And this morning we're going to see three principles from Proverbs about decision making. Three principles, here they are. You've got to decide fearlessly, knowing God is in control. You've got to decide humbly, committing the decision to God. And then finally, you've got to decide wisely, because wisdom lives in you. We're going to take each of these in turn. So firstly, decide wisely, knowing God is in control. Proverbs 16:4 says this, "The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster." See, what that proverb is teaching us is that it's God who works out everything to its proper end. God is the one who is in charge of everything, and that means everything. Where you live, who you marry, whether you marry, what you do for work, all of it is under His sovereign hand. And this verse tells us that even the wicked are under His hand. Now, that's a whole new sermon for another day. But what it's saying is that it's not just the little things that are under God's hand, but it's also the bad things that are under His hand. The evil schemes of people are part of God's plan. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, how can God be responsible for evil? And the answer is, He's not responsible for evil, because we just read this in Proverbs 16, verse 1. To humans belong the plans of the heart. You see, it's to humans that have their own plans, and that includes their evil plans. They all come from humans, not from God. They belong to the evildoer. But our God is so much in control that He can use the evil to His ends. He can weave the evil into His grand plan. He can make it something beautiful. The worst things can be used by God into His ultimate good in the end. That's what God does. And you know what that means for your life? That means that your life is not at the mercy of chaos. That means that God can even take your bad decisions, your unwise decisions, and your regrets, and He can use them for His purposes. It can turn out for His glory. He can redeem the broken threads in your life, and He can weave them into His tapestry. Isn't that good news? Isn't that comforting? Proverbs 16, verse 9 says, "In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." You see, what we need to do is we need to hold these two truths together. See, on one hand, we are responsible human beings who decide things and we make plans, but ultimately, it's God who's in control. And how do those two truths fit together? I don't know. But they're both true, aren't they? We're responsible. God is sovereign. And so, you know, you plan your course. You make decisions. You plan where you will live. You plan what job you'll take. You plan what you'll have for lunch this afternoon. But in the end, it's God who establishes your steps. It's God who arranges it and sets it in place and allows it and makes it happen. You know, in the 90s, there was a movie called Sliding Doors. And this movie explored the idea that, you know, one small choice can change your whole future. One small choice, like missing a train when the, you know, the doors slide in front of you and you just miss out on getting on that train, hence the name, sliding doors. That could change the course of your whole life. And the movie leaves you wondering about your own life and you think, what if I chose differently? You ever wrestle with the what ifs? What if? What if I did this instead of that? What if I chose that university instead of that university? What if I married that person instead of that person? My life would be so different. Do you find yourself asking the what ifs? You know, the Bible tells you this. The Bible tells you that no matter which door you walk through, you can't fall outside of God's plan. That's the truth. Because He's in control and it's all part of His plan. And that means when you approach decisions, it means you can approach decisions without feeling crippled. You don't have to be anxious when you approach decisions. You don't need to fear that you're stepping outside of God's perfect plan if I make this decision, because, you know, the Bible's teaching, no, there's actually only one path, and you can make decisions with confidence because God is sovereign. And when our plans change and when the doors slide closed, God is still at work establishing our steps. You don't need to be 100% sure before you decide something. So, if you know God is sovereign, and if you know that He is good, you know what that means for you? You can make decisions without fear. You can make them courageously because you know that you'll be calm in the storm and you'll have peace in the whirlwind. Because He is good and He is in control. It's like what we were reminded in James 4. If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. We can live fearlessly as we make decisions, knowing God is in control. Here's the second thing, that the second principle to live by. It's this. We've got to decide humbly, committing the decision to God. Now, what we're going to do in this second point is we're just going to drill down into this verse here in Proverbs 16, verse 3, where it says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans." We're just going to drill down into what this phrase means, commit to the Lord whatever you do. Now, this word commit, actually in the Hebrew, it means to roll. Okay, it means to roll over to someone, something that has weight, you know, like a big boulder or something. You roll it over to someone. And what the writer of Proverbs is saying is, commit to the Lord. In other words, whatever decision you make, roll it over to the Lord. Let Him hold the weight. You don't hold the weight, He holds the weight. Roll your decisions over to Him. Let Him carry them. Because, look, let's face it, our ability to make decisions, it's limited. We're limited by our own blindness, by our own sin, by our own desires. But the wise person, they don't lean on their own understanding. They lean on the Lord. They roll their decisions over to Him. And so what I want to do in the next moment is I want to be as practical as possible to help you think about what this means to commit to the Lord whatever you do. How do you do that? Got a big decision to make? How do you commit that decision to the Lord? Here's what you need to do. You need to wait. Wait. Before you make the decision, before you act, you need to wait. What do I mean by that? W-A-I-T-E. You've got to worship, ask, investigate, think. Okay? Worship, ask, investigate, think. That's what it means to commit to the Lord. You've got to worship. Now, worship. What I mean by worship, what I mean is you've got to orientate your heart away from yourself to God's own heart. That's what it means to worship, to offer yourself to him, to keep your desires in check, make sure your desires are his desires, your actions are his actions. See, true wisdom begins with worship. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You've got to be a person who fears God. Here's what the Proverbs says. Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You know, we think our way is right, don't we? Our way is the way to go. It's our understanding that we've got to bring into the decision. Ah, but it's God's understanding. He's the one whose understanding counts. His wisdom is the wisdom that counts. You know, think of a, you know, GPS. You know, imagine if you're the Sawyer's going to France for the very first time and you land, and you land in a major city, what do you do? Do you go with your gut instinct? Oh, I've got to find where I'm going to stay tonight. Okay, my gut feeling tells me to go in this direction. Is that what you do? No. What you do is you pull out your phone and you get out Google Maps and you type in the address and it tells you where to go. Okay, you use the GPS. That's what you've got to do. And Proverbs says to us, don't trust your inner compass. No, trust the Lord's GPS. Trust his wisdom to guide you. Okay? We worship. That's what we do as we make decisions. So the first step is to worship. The second step is to ask. Ask. Here's what Proverbs 17:24 says, a discerning person keeps wisdom in view, but a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth. Now, this proverb is a contrast, isn't it? Okay, the first line contrasts the second line. And, you know, you look at the second line first. What does a fool do? A fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth. When a fool makes a decision, what do they do? They think, I've got all the options available to me. I can do anything I want. I can be anything I want. Everything's available to me. Look at that. Wow, look at this, look at that. I can do anything. I have the world before me. That's what a fool does. But a wise person, a discerning person, no, they don't do that. A discerning person keeps wisdom in view. A wise person asks this question. Are you ready? Is this wise? Is this wise? In other words, does this decision fit in with the way that God has made the world to run? Does this decision fit in with who I know that God is and what I know about his heartbeat? Does this decision fit in with my own limitations and my own capacity? Does this achieve God's purposes? Does this further his kingdom? Is this a decision that will glorify him? Okay, you're asking all those questions, but the big question is this wise? Is this wise? You're buying a car, and you ask the question, is this wise? Well, the Bible doesn't tell you whether or not you should buy a Subaru or a Toyota. Much like it doesn't tell you about the western suburbs of Sydney. It doesn't tell you, but it does give you wise principles, good principles. It tells you things like, asks you questions like, are you being greedy? It gets you to think about questions like, does buying this car stop me from being generous? Will it stop me from supporting gospel work, for example? Am I buying this car because I'm not content? There's all kinds of questions the Bible probes and asks you. So wisdom will ask those questions. Is this wise? So you worship, you ask, and then you investigate. If you're someone who's wise, you'll be a person who investigates by going to other people. Proverbs 19, verse 20 says this: listen to advice and accept discipline, and in the end, you'll be counted among the wise. Wise people listen. They ask for advice. They go to people who are wiser than them, and they say to them, look, I've got this decision before me. Here are my options. Can you just help me out? Is there something I'm missing? Is there a blind spot of mine that I'm not seeing? And they don't just go to the people who will tell them what they want to hear. They go to the people who will give them different answers. You know, if they're a right-wing person, they'll go to left-wing people. If they're, you know, have this opinion, they'll go to people who have that opinion. They'll ask a multitude of people and get a multitude of answers, because that's what wisdom does. That's why God puts us in wisdom communities. That's why he's put us in families. That's why he's put us in friendships. That's why he's put us in church, because he wants us to be part of a wisdom community where we can go to people and we can ask them, tell me what you think with this major decision I'm about to make. Now, let me ask you this. What's the only time in life when you can go against a wise person's advice? What's the only time when you go against a wise person's advice? You know when it is? It's when you're dealing with two wise choices. That's the only time. You've got two wise choices before you. This wise person says this choice, but you've still got this choice, and you're free. God has given you a great freedom to choose one or the other. You've got to simply make a decision. You know, when Christy, my wife, she's out there, was choosing to marry me. Of course, I'm the one who asked her, you understand. But she had to make the decision. And she asked her family. She's come in now so she can hear. She said to her parents, who had met me, she said, what do you think of this guy? You think he's a good guy? Think he'll look after me? I mean, he reads comic books, but, you know, do you think that's okay? And thankfully, her parents thought I was a good guy, and they thought it was okay that I read comic books. They've since bought me a few, so that's good. But the point is, she wanted to know their wisdom about a major decision in her life. You see, wisdom grows in community. And what you have to do is you have to investigate. You have to ask people. That's what you need to do. And finally, you have to think. Oh, you have to think. Wisdom thinks. Proverbs 14, verse 15 says, the simple believe anything, but the prudent give thought to their steps. Ah, there's the wisdom. The prudent give thought to their steps. You know what the prudent do? They stop. They slow down. They think. They mull it over. They turn it over. They meditate. They look at the possible scenarios and think about, if this scenario works this way, this will happen. If this scenario plays out this way, this will happen. Our culture says, just rush in. Don't ponder. Don't reflect, otherwise you'll miss out. You'll get FOMO. Seize the day. Get in there and make sure you just do it. Not the wise. The wise person, they take in the options. They weigh it up. I remember a time in my life when I didn't want to think. I didn't want to think about the choices that were before me in life. I just wanted God to tell me what to do. I just wished there was, you know, a writing on the wall, or a lightning bolt from heaven, or something like that, that would help me make, you know, the major decisions in my life. Take this job, live right here, marry this person. I didn't want to make the decision. You know why? Why it was? Because I didn't want to go through the pain. of making the decision and of making what I thought might be the wrong decision. But of course, if you are someone who wants to live your life that way, do you realize that you never learn to be wise? You never learn wisdom that way, by just following the marching orders. You know, our God wants us to use a very important organ in our body. It's called our brain. It's there to use. God has given us a brain to help us to think, to reason. And God, the normal way God guides us is not by lightning, bolts of lightning, but by giving us brains to think, weigh up the options and decide what's wise. And of course, that involves taking time to pray. Have you prayed about it? So, we've got to be people who are fearlessly making decisions because God is in control. We've got to be humbly making decisions as we commit things to the Lord. And finally, we've got to decide wisely because wisdom lives in you. You realize that? Wisdom lives in you. You know, at the heart of Proverbs is not a method for decision making, actually. It's not the intent of the book. The intent of the book of Proverbs is a call to trust. It's a call to trust a person. And, you know, since the Garden of Eden, we humans have made one foolish decision after another. It all started when we made the decision to turn our back on God by not listening to what he said, by not obeying him. And since then, we've slid into foolish, bad, wicked decision one after the other, where we thought we were God and we decided to play him. And how foolish can you get? But then, the wisest person who ever lived entered our world. The person who made the only ever wise choice that has ever been made entered our world. And what he did is he chose to give glory to God by dying for you. And when Jesus died on that cross, here's the wonder. Every time you've ignored God, every time you've made a sinful decision, every time you've resisted his counsel, every time you've trusted your own understanding, Jesus Christ died for that sin. And he can forgive you for that sin. And so, can I just say to you, do you know the wisest decision you will ever make in life? The wisest decision of all. It's not about where you live, who you marry, where you go. It's not, no. The wisest decision you will ever make is to put your trust in Jesus. That's the wisest decision you'll ever make. Every other decision pales in comparison to that one. That's the one to get right. To put your trust in Jesus, because he's the one who forgives your sin. He's the one who turns away God's anger. He's the one who gives you eternal life. And so trust him. And you know what will happen? You'll be wise. You'll become one of the wise ones. And what he does when he comes into your life is he gives you the ability to live wisely. You can live wisely now. You know why? Because the wisest person who ever lived is now living inside you. That's the beauty. You are in Christ, and Christ is in you. The one who went to the cross for you, the one who chose to live the perfect life for you, the one who chose to be perfectly wise, he did that for you. His wisdom is now yours. And Colossians 2 verse 2 says, Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Do you see that in Jesus Christ is all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge? And he is the one, if you've trusted him, who lives in you. He's inside you. And now you can make good and wise decisions, because you have the Spirit of Christ living in you. That's why Paul prays this prayer in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. He says, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Why? So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. Ah, there it is. It's possible. You can do it. Because you've got God's Spirit. You have the Spirit of Christ. You have all the treasure of wisdom and understanding. You have Christ living in you. And you can make wise decisions because the one who is wisdom is in you. Let me finish by telling you about Billy Graham. Oh, what a wise man Billy Graham was. One of the most influential evangelists of last century, a great man of wisdom. You know, early in his ministry, Billy Graham and his team created this manifesto. And in this manifesto was a set of decisions that they made. Decisions to avoid moral and financial pitfalls that had ruined other evangelists. And so they made decisions about things like being truthful about the number of people who showed up to their events. They made decisions about that they would handle money with transparency. They made decisions about not being alone with women who weren't their wives. Oh, so wise. Very wise. And all these wise decisions honored the Lord Jesus Christ. So what about you? You have the Spirit of Christ in you? Will you trust Him with every single part of your life? Will you trust Him with your plans, your worries, your dreams? Because the one who made the ultimate decision for you now invites you to follow Him and to live wisely for His glory. Let's do it. I'll pray. Loving Father, we pray that we would step out with joyfulness and confidence and wisdom as we live for the one who gave His life for us. Oh, Father, help us, we pray, to be the men and women of God who live out the wisdom that was won for us at the cross. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.